On this week's episode of Checkers Oral Wreckers with Dega Davey and the Nose, it is Daytona week. But before we get into Daytona, we got to talk about the Double Dover, the five races truck, double Xfinity, double cup. Then we go into who was right, who was wrong, break down some picks, some driving topics of Ross versus Briscoe. Why does every time Noah calls somebody out, they win a race or even do better than they thought? Denny versus Harvick, who's really even watching anymore? We're all sick of it. And who's a driver out to the playoffs that could punch their ticket this weekend that's not already in? Some silly season updates. Who's definitely winning? Who's definitely losing? And as always, hammer down. Boring. I'm gonna be honest with you, JP, and I think you know this already, Dem, but I really don't like Dover because it feels like a nice, it's like bigger Bristol. That's what everybody says, bigger Bristol, but it's concrete, and anything bigger than a half mile on concrete sucks. So that, and then upcoming next year, Nashville is going to suck. It's a snooze fest. Because once you get out there, in my opinion, nobody can come back to you. Like, there's not much grip anywhere. It's not like asphalt where you can just kind of, like, grip into it. Like, the concrete doesn't heat up. It's just like a cold slab to me. Like, did you feel that way, anyway, like that at all this weekend?
I don't think it's anything against Dover. I think you're being a bit of an asshole. Because blaming the track, I don't think it was so much of a track problem as it was more of a racing line problem. Look, we like Dover. We were both very, very hyped this past weekend going into Dover. We were expecting some great race, and I thought it was going to be like Michigan all over again, like the next Michigan doubleheader that was freaking awesome seeing back-to-back racing. This one obviously didn't pan out for several reasons. But the main one is Dover's obviously due for repaving. And this Dover race, we didn't see any major wrecks. No, I want you to be honest with me here, okay? I'll ask you this question. If there would have been a major wreck, let's say 4, 5, 6 cars involved, and not like, you know, fender bender ones, but I'm talking like a major wreck, like an almost, like Clint Boyer almost flipping kind of wreck, would you have said the same thing?
Well, when I go to Dover, I expect calamity. I expect a wreck on every lap. It is called the Monster Mile for a reason. That was like the track I used to love going to on NASCAR 08 because I knew there was going to be a huge wreck. And so I think, yeah, that plays into it. That plays into my childish tendencies for NASCAR. I want to see big boom. But because it didn't happen, I don't know. Dover, the more it goes, I'm like, are we really still going here? But I guess I do have that feeling. I have that resentment towards the track. And yeah, do I think that blaming the track's a cop out for the fact that my driver sucked, Chase getting like dicked? Yeah, I think it's a cop out. But also, what else am I gonna blame? I can't blame Chase. He's a god. I can't blame Team Hendrick. Can't blame the car. I'm not Kyle Busch. I can't blame the team because I'm not Kyle Busch. So I have to blame the track. That's just what I have to do here. That's my only option.
Look, I'm excited for the next Dover race that we go to because we ought to have a fresh pavement, brand new paving done, hopefully. I mean, the track had a damn pothole in the middle of the race. Felt like I was watching the Daytona 500 race back in the day. But they have that. Hopefully, they'll repave the track. And maybe, just maybe. Now, look, I'm not the biggest, you know, supporter of traction compound, but maybe some compound in the lower lane, not a lot to make it a one lane track like it was this past weekend, but enough to make it equal out, whether it's the top or the bottom. They did a fantastic job of the traction compound at Bristol, which is a very similar track, but it's on, you know, asphalt, obviously, versus concrete. And this is the Bristol from last year, where Matt DiPendetto almost won. Dickie Hanlon came through and stole the win. But if they could have done that, because across all three series, which we'll recap, you know, all three series here in a second, but the big thing we saw across all of them is that there wasn't a lot of crazy, crazy contact or passing. Jimmy came from the back of the field after a penalty, as did Chase Briscoe. Those were the two big guys I looked out for that worked their way through the field that could pass. But once they got to a certain position, the passing stopped. And that race, Dover reminded me a lot of like Washington, Texas, where once, no matter what series you're looking at, once guys got in position, that's where they stayed in. But 200 miles less. That's what it felt like to me.
I agree with you on the traction compound. And I'm kind of, now that you mention it, Bristol did have traction compound. So like, I also don't understand. I know we both said this before. We don't like the doubleheader weekends that are the same length, like 311 Dryden. Why don't we just make it like a 150 and like a 275?
That'd be like fantastic. Be fantastic.
Like, I want to see a shootout.
Yeah.
Balls of the wall. And I would like to see a little bit of kind of stressing them out.
I think Dover, and you're absolutely right on that. I mean, before we jump into the recaps here, that's a fantastic point. And I have here from my overall notes across all three series, the big takeaway that I have is that the racing, especially for the Cup, for all series, the racing was too long. I understand it was only 300-something miles of racing. Dover's a fairly fast track. The low speed is in the 130 range, maybe upper 120s. The high speed is in the upper 160s, lower 170s. It's still a pretty fast track for doing, you know, a few hundred miles. But if we're doing a doubleheader, especially at Dover, you know, a track when someone wants to call Bristol on steroids, make it an all-star-ish kind of race. Lower down the mileage, make the first one 200 miles or 175, and make the second one right at 200. Because even if, when you factor in the track repairs for the second race, it was still like a three and a half hour broadcast for a 300 mile race. That's like an Xfinity race. The hell, man. Just, I don't know. I wish they would have shortened it up and create more action.
Well, you know, nobody was watching the race on Sunday because the Indy 500 was on.
And I watched a little bit of it. I dabbled in it. I watched a little bit of it.
The only problem I had with the Indy 500 is because the very end, if you saw it, instead of a green white checker, they just ended on a caution.
That's dumb.
That was literally like it's blue balls for me. I didn't want to see him win. I wanted to see the other guys win.
Yeah, I want to see somebody earn their win. I'm sorry, but if you're in third or fourth, if you're in first place with three or four laps to go, and the caution comes out and checkered flag under caution, you didn't win that fucking race. You didn't win nothing. You're just at the right place at the right time.
But you know who did win this weekend was my dark horse pick in Zane Smith, the most beautiful man in motorsports. Like we
talked
about
before. Handsome man, and I made an effort. On my notes here, look, guys, his name isn't Zane Smith. It's the handsome Zane Smith. That's who he is. And he's not only a good-looking kid, but honest kid. We talked about it couple weeks ago after he won Michigan. Really stroked this kid's cock for good reason. Again, didn't buy his way into that seat at GMS Racing. He's got an alcohol sponsor, the Margarita Mix. I gotta look into maybe buying that car, potentially, because again, I gotta add to my alcohol collection diecast. Although I don't think Margarita Mix has alcohol in it. That's usually add tequila to it. But anyway, as far as the truck race went, I was really hoping to see Brett Moffitt finally win a damn race this year. I mean, damn it, he's a championship winner. The equipment really hasn't changed. He's been up there, but he just cannot seal the deal. And the race on Friday was another example of that, where he was up there, but again, just didn't seal the deal. Also, big, big note here. This was Zane Smith's first time ever going to this track. Could you imagine being in a NASCAR truck that you really don't have that much much experience racing in, and you're thrown into it at a track that you haven't raced before in that equipment, and dude goes out there and wins it. Dude's unbelievable.
Well, I can imagine it because of the art of iRacing, but also about Zane Smith. When he wins, I immediately turn off the TV after the burnout. I do not want to see him get out of the car. Cecilia sits right next to me. Got to turn it off.
Yes.
Makes
me nervous.
I have to make her – I don't want to put her in any sort of situation where she does bad things, right? I know she's the best thing that's ever happened to me, but when you see Zane Smith, I want to do bad things. I have no idea. The Lord looks down on me. So the race this weekend, like a lot of them for me, was meh. So whenever Zane won, and he even acknowledged it. He's not that good at restarts. But on his last restart, he made the most of it. And I was just floored by that. I was so excited for him to be able to do that. And I'm always excited for young drivers to win. As much as I picked Johnny Sauter just to be an asshole, I didn't want him to win. I really wanted Zane Smith, but I didn't want to get laughed out of the podcast by saying Zane Smith right off the bat at Dover, where he's never been before. Like, if you pick Zane Smith on any track, that's like picking a Brendan Gaughan or Reed Sorensen or Rick Ware Racing to win.
Until now. He changed that narrative. And even at Michigan, he changed that narrative this season. He's shown, now granted, now the guys listed, Brendan Gaughan, BJ McLeod, Matt Tift back in the day before he had the seizures. Look, those guys aren't in top tier equipment. This guy is in the same equipment Brett Moffitt's driving, who's a champion. So he has the equipment to do it, but obviously the skill would need to be built, for a year or two to really develop and shine. But damn it, this kid's talent is making up for all of that. I mean, it's like this kid's been driving in the series for 2 or 3 years now, and we're just over halfway through this kid's first season. It's unbelievable. The big takeaway from the truck series that I have here, I'm going to go ahead and put it out there that Stuart Friesen is the unluckiest driver in NASCAR this season. His season has completely deteriorated. He was in a close running with Jimmy Johnson and Daniel Hemric, but those guys actually have races they finish and do okay at times. He doesn't have hardly any, like at all, especially recently. I mean, this guy was running for a fucking championship last year. He will not make the playoffs unless his ass can pull off something. Fuck, I don't even know where their next race is at. I know they're not racing this weekend at Daytona. I think it's WWT, the Worldwide Technology, in St. Louis, which good luck there, buddy. But damn it, Stuart Friesen here, he is, man, cannot get his shit together. Also, I got a question for you, Noah. Do you think Kyle Busch Motorsports is in free fall panic mode?
No. I mean, I think that anytime there's good equipment, I don't think they're going to be panicking. To them, they're not panicking. But to us, yeah. If you're a Kyle Busch Motorsports fan, you should be panicking. I agree.
And this weekend, I bring it up because this weekend we saw teammates wreck into each other. There was a guy I wasn't familiar with in the 51 car, Christopher something. No idea who the kid was, but driving the 51 car, he was doing good too. He was doing very good. But Christian Eckes got into him, completely took him out of the race. That was pretty funny. Kind of reminded me of Michigan when Sauter and Infinger got into it. But this one, same deal. Eckes Scott got a little too aggressive. Teammates of KBM got a little too aggressive and took each other completely out of the race. But yeah, other than that, we really didn't see much else. We saw a couple cars spin. But other than that, no one really got shoved out of the way. No major wrecks. And very, very, very little drama, if any.
But I'll tell you what. I'm more upset the fact that the biggest bitch in NASCAR actually won a race this weekend, and your boy. And I love the race. I love the paint scheme with Justin Allgaier, but snooze fest, first of all. Second of all, I hated the fact that he won, especially after I just talked about him.
Mm-hmm. I would say the Xfinity, the first Xfinity race, moving on to it, was probably the most insignificant race of the weekend. Nothing happened. Literally nothing happened. Cindric crashing on his own was about the only thing I think of. Like, if I had to, like, name, like, what's the highlight of the race, it would be Briscoe wrecking out. And on that matter, Cindric didn't win. The Cindric train did not win this weekend. You know, again, I wish the same could be said for the Hamlin Harvick train, but obviously that did not happen. But Xfinity won. It felt like watching a practice race. That's the vibe I got from that race. You know, the first Cup race didn't necessarily feel like that, but the first Xfinity race for damn sure did. Guys, it was not the Xfinity series that we're used to seeing, where guys get chippy. You know, guys have attitude. Guys don't fucking lift. But there was definitely some lifting in the first race.
So, Cup race real quick. The first one, at least. I swore Truex Jr. was going to win that race. Up until, what, Denny Hamlin just went around him that easy? I remember I was watching with my family, and they were like, that easy? That's how it works? I said, not usually. I mean, I don't understand what happened. They're driving the same equipment. I don't understand what happened. But I just wanted Truex to win. If I had to pick between the two evils,
all day,
Truex.
All day. But in Truex's interview, it wasn't his fault. Even though his car was damn near sideways on the damn straightaway, it reminded me, I thought I was watching Michael McDowell at Bristol, like, hey, man, your car's turned on the straightaway. What the hell? But looking at that race, Truex, and this pissed me off big time, blamed Eric Almirola, said, idiot wouldn't get out the way. Said, no, Truex. He may have slowed you down a little bit, but look, man, your car was loose as tits. Almirola is not the reason why you lost that race, but leave it to Truex to blame him for losing. He's taking the JGR attitude, or it wasn't his fault. It wasn't the team's fault. It was Almirola's fault. Should have got out the way. Again, another insignificant race, and Dickie Hamlin gets another win. Whoop-de-doo.
All right, so Xfinity 2. I like Ross Chastain so much. I want him to win again in the Xfinity series. So I was pretty upset when he got moved out of the way at the end. But I understand it's racing. It just kind of irked me. But I mean, I know we're both Briscoe guys, but
I think it was fair. Still. I think it was fair. I mean, look, in their interview afterwards, that Bob Pockers posted, you know, the same day as the race afterwards, they're, you know, from both the takes from both sides, they both would have done the same thing. They don't blame each other for what happened. I think Ross is being a little too much of a butthurt bitch on this one. Again, love Ross Chastain. Big Chastain guy. Want him to get a win. He needs to win, for that matter. But I think he's being a little too butthurt, which is expected. When you're on the short end of the stick, when a bump and run happens, you're going to be pissed. But he still had a good day. He wasn't wrecked out. And to me, it was a racing incident. That's part of racing, man. You're going to get moved. But Ross is a really good racer. He does not let anyone pass easy. And he's going to race you hard. And I don't know that we're going to see a rivalry between Briscoe and Chastain through the rest of the season. I would like to, because more drama is good. Any drama is good. Even if it's against two guys that I like, that's fine. But I don't think Ross can do anything stupid. I think he's too smart, too mature to do anything crazy.
I mean, Briscoe's not making many friends. I mean, first it's his buddy, Cindric. Now it's Ross. That's this week. But going into the Cup Series, second race, I thought Jimmy had it. I thought Jimmy had it when he got up to the lead with on two tires, new tires. The other tires 60 laps old. I thought he had it. And then he kind of lost it. I don't know what it was, but he finished third. I was pretty happy with that.
I love the call, man. I had the biggest smile on my face just seeing Jimmy out there, because he did something. And look, I understand people looking back at it said it was a dumb call. He had really old ass tires. You know, he was going to fall back like a rock, hold up the field. You know what? Fuck you. I'm glad he did it, because he had to do something different. Him and his team did something different, and Jimmy threw everything he had at that race. I don't know that we've seen this Jimmy in a long time, where he's really, this man is doing everything he can in his power to do it. And the fact he held off Byron to hold on to third place, I mean, it was awesome. You know, he's still not in the playoffs right now, at least in the, he's still outside as far as the bubble's concerned, but he's right there. He's right there. And it was cool. And he almost pulled it off. He almost did. If it would have been, you know, a green, white checkered, maybe. But it was awesome. I made me happy. I want to see Jimmy do something, and he did it.
Yeah, it was pretty nostalgic. I got just seeing Jimmy Johnson up front, almost leading the lap. He was holding him off for a little bit, but then those tires just got to him. If he had four fresh tires, I think he would have won the race. But without that, without just one two-tire call,
exactly. He been up front. You got to take the weight with it. And real quick, at the beginning of that race, let me go ahead and say it too. Joey Logano's a fucking cuck. Joey Logano is a cuck. And if you're a Logano fan, you need to look yourself in the mirror real hard. You need to look at yourself in the eyes and say, why am I a Logano fan? What drives me to be that way? You need to do some real soul searching out there if you're a Logano fan.
Why am I an asshole on purpose?
Exactly. What are you aspiring to be? This is the second time now in the past several races where he made a dumb maneuver, dumb mistake, and ruined Stenhouse's day. Yay. We'll take that. Ruined Chase's day.
Ooh.
Bitch move. And also, I'm not going to say ruined Kyle Busch's day, but he didn't make it any easier.
Yay.
So we have to take it. We have to take the roll with the punches here. But in typical Joey Logano fashion, very rarely do we see him take any repercussions for shit that he causes. So he made it out unscathed, but ruined several other guys' days by doing that. So typical Logano fashion. That's, got in the back of him. He took fault for it, for wrecking out those guys, which I'll give him some respect for that. If it had been Kyle Busch, it would have been the car's fault. Or the track's fault, or Goodyear's fault, but fuck them.
So
moving on.
If I could sit in this podcast for 30 minutes of silence just to pay respects to Chase Elliott after that, I would. But I don't have that kind of time.
That costs too much money.
I agree. We don't make much money around here. But we get to get into my favorite part of this podcast of who was right and who was fucking wrong. So JP won this week because he obviously picked two of the winners. I picked my dark horse pick. So I had Sauter as my regular pick for trucks. Zane Smith. Woo! Handsome man. The handsome Zane Smith. Then I had Ross and Haley for Xfinity. And I had Almirola and Bubba. Neither of which did anything. Ooh. Ross almost took it. Justin Haley. Eh. But JP won this week. Who did you have, JP, that you decided to win with?
For the trucks, I'll start with my losing pick first so I can end on a good note here. I had Friesen on the lookout because I'm a dumbass and I keep having this glimmer of hope that he will, get his head out of his ass and finally do something and be in the playoffs because that's where he belongs, but he didn't. So that's on me. But going to the Xfinity, and also I had Brett Moffitt too. Again, dumbass on me. I'm a dumbass. I keep picking these guys who were so dominant last year, who have shown they have championship potential, and they fail to produce this year. I don't know what it is. Both these guys have raced before at this track, same equipment. They know the setups, and they're given good starting positions. They've shown they can even get, they can get up front, and they just nothing to show for.
With picking those legacy picks? You remind me of like the small schools that can't afford like the big artists for homecoming. So they hire somebody that was really hot, like artist wise, like 5 years ago. Like they hire.
I am the University of West Florida for the homecoming.
Yeah, you bring in Ludacris after 2005. Yes. It's like 2017. We're gonna bring in Ludacris. Like,
when's yeah, last yeah, hit? He's yeah, he was big.
His so, name.
Yeah, fucker.
Who'd you have for Cup?
For Cup, nah, fuck Cup. Xfinity, this is where the wins start rolling, and I had Allgaier. I now hit, listen, same strategy I had with Moffitt and Stuart Friesen. It was a matter of time till he'd pull through. He finally did, thank God. That short little fuck at all 5'6" that he is, wheeled his little ass into victory lane. And also had Noah Gragson, who did fairly well, led a few laps, if I'm not mistaken, and had an overall pretty good day, at least in the first race he did. Second race, he got some contact with an irrelevant car, and that kind of ruined his day a little bit. Fell back to he was still in the top 10. For Cup, had Jimmy Johnson. That worked out pretty well. Again, another nostalgic pick. We figured, hey, he's got to do good eventually. He can't go out like an asshole and be nothing. So he's going to come back and start doing something. He did. Didn't win, but baby steps. And the easy low-hanging fruit of Big Dick Harvick. And a bit of a letdown the first race. Only got fourth. You know, think like, oh, man, is this the end of the Harvick era this season? He got fourth. Gets a fourth-place finish. We question if it's going to be the end of the role. And then comes through and fucking kills it in the second race. Gets his broom out and sweeps her up. So that was a good win.
So for driving topics, I really wanted to think about something, and I'm just kind of sick of the Denny Hamlin and Kevin Harvick show. And I know you picked them, you know, Big Dick Harvick, cool, cool, cool. But when two drivers are like just running away with it all the time, I get tired of seeing them. And I saw on Twitter, they're like, if this was Ryan Blaney, Chase Elliott, or like Bubba Wallace winning all the races, you guys wouldn't be tired of it. I would say, fuck off, you don't know me. Second of all, stop judging me, you don't know me. And then third of all, I would still want to see Spice. Like, if they're winning all those races, I still want to see Spice. Like, it seems like the same people running up front every week. And, yeah, I understand that's where the money is. But also, the other teams just need to step it up somehow. I don't know how. I don't have any money. But step the fuck up. Like, are you sick of it yet?
Yeah. Yeah, I am. I'm also a little bit let down because when they made the announcement of no practice, no qualifying, all these small teams are like, yay, we can be more competitive now. We can, you know, have a shot at this. It levels the playing field. But I look at the scoreboard, I'm like, what the fuck? And you're absolutely right. This is what, 12 races that these guys have won combined? And it's like, well, where's the level playing field? Where's the more competitiveness going to happen? Because I'm hearing what you're saying, Drew Blickendick. I'm hearing you on Race Hub saying, oh, it's a great decision, it levels everything off. But I'm looking at the scoreboard, and you're fucking wrong. And I am tired of the Denny Hamlin-Harvick show. I love Harvick, but it's I'm not saying I want fucking Kyle Busch to win. But hey, any drama is good drama. That's I'll leave it at that.
But speaking of drama, who is a driver this weekend for Daytona that is outside the playoffs that you think could jump out and ruin the whole thing for everyone? Now, Jimmy is in the playoff. No. Jimmy's 3-4 points out, so he's eligible. Yeah. But everybody else, who do you think could jump up and spoil the party?
This is an easy pick, and I'm going to put out there big sponsorship, Bubba Wallace. He's the one I have zeroed in on that could really ruin this picture and blow it wide open. He's got a second-place finish there just barely at the 500. So we know he can do it. Now, again, everyone says, you know, okay, it's a level playing field. But look, until Corey LaJoie gets a win there, until Christopher Bell can squeeze out a win, BJ McLeod, Brendan Gaughan, then I'll truly believe that's a level playing field. But as far as I'm concerned, it ain't as level as everyone says it is. So, but Bubba has proven that with that equipment, he can get his ass up there. So he just might ruin Jimmy's day if Jimmy doesn't win.
You know, that you kind of always steal my fucking thunder. I shouldn't let you go first anymore. So we got to – all right, that's a good sponsor name, or that's a good nickname for him. Big sponsor Bubba. He's got all this money bags Bubba. Mm. I mean, whenever you start wondering why is Bubba's car bottoming it out in the corners, it's called the fucking money in his pocket, man. This is what it is. He's probably got all the fucking money in his trunk of the fucking NASCAR.
He needs to beef up the suspension. He needs to take out a few bills and beef up that damn suspension.
I bet you he doesn't even have toilet paper in his motorhome. He just has $100 bills, just wipes his ass. Like, whatever, man. Yes. He does like his seat inserts just made out of money. Man of money.
Next thing you know, there's going to be Bubba champagne you can buy at your local Brass, or not Brass Pro, your Gander Outdoor.
Bubba beer.
Whatever the hell you go to, Bubba beer, Bubba steaks.
So,
he's going to run for office before you know it.
God, here we go.
He'll be in office.
Okay, he's going to have orange hair too. So I think that, dude, I hate him. I hate him, but I love him at the same time. I think Ricky Stenhouse Jr. is going to make his way up to the front, and he's going to fucking win this. He was close to Talladega. He was on pole. I'm going to be at the race. Last time I was at Daytona, he got the pole in person. I think he's going to win. If it's not going to be Bubba, if it's not going to be Jimmy like I want, then I think it's going to be fucking Ricky Stenhouse Jr. I don't know what it is. He's like a fucking mole. He's like shows up. And I'm like, fuck.
He is.
Are you serious?
Because like a, that's a great analogy. He is. He shows up uninvited, like, oh, this fucking guy, this little cuck, you know, he's gonna come here and ruin my day. But he can't wreck. He cannot wreck. And that's gonna be his. It's if there's anyone that is the epitome of the name of this show, Checkers or Wreckers, it's Ricky Spinhouse, Recky Spinhouse Jr. It's going to be him. It's a good pick. Good pick.
Okay, so going on to silly season, I know we haven't heard much, but people are winning a lot, and people are doing very well. So you got to start out with the big fish, especially in Xfinity. Do you think Briscoe's going to move to Cup?
Yes. Look, no team has announced this 8-win theory strategy. I don't know if that's what Mr. H whispered into his ear, and he just made it like his own thing. Like, I got to win 8 now, just on my own. I don't know. Maybe some team whispered that in his ear and said, hey, for you to be considered, we'll think about you. But look, I think Briscoe will absolutely be moved up. I would be appalled if he didn't. I mean, this guy could easily win 9-10 races in the Cup Series or in the Xfinity Series. That's almost a third of all the races doesn't get moved up. Dumb. I think Clint Boyer is confirmed out. I know he'll make the playoffs. He's not locked in, but he might as well be going to Daytona. I think Briscoe goes up. And I got a question for you on this one. We didn't talk a damn thing about Austin Cindric a month ago. Do we look at Cindric to move up now? And if so, where?
I think Cindric is going to move up to a fourth Penske team, or he's going to move up. Roush was talking about making a third team. I think he's going to move there. I don't think it's going to be a seat that's already open. I think he's going
to. So do you think Matty D should be scrambling right now?
No, Matty D's not Team Penske. He's Wood Brother.
I understand, but an alliance.
That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Penske only has 3 official cars, so he's allowed to have 4. So
it's a lot of money.
Doesn't matter. He's probably. Penske can do it.
He's rich.
He'll find one. They're like overloading their cars with sponsorship. I think that if Cindric is that good, they'll move him up into a 4 car. I guarantee you that. So
that's what happens.
So I mean it. I think that
Cindric. Well, I guess. Do you think he's ready? Do you think Cindric is ready? Look, he wasn't shit last year. He really wasn't shit the first half of this year, and he just hit a really big hot streak. Do you think that's enough for him to move up to Cup?
I don't. You know, I'm not to say that. I don't think so. I think that he should be moving up after 2 years good in Xfinity, like Briscoe has. Briscoe's had 2 good years in Cup? Yeah, well, I don't know.
Xfinity. Yeah, Briscoe, this is his first good year. He was not, because he was not part of the Big 3 last year. He was a rookie last year, was very hit or miss, and I was watching one of the interviews. He had the setups that Cole Custer had last year. Didn't work out for him. He had a very similar season that Eric Almirola had. Again, same team, different series. Almirola was given setups that Kevin Harvick had, because thinking, okay, Harvick's doing good, let's give Almirola the same setups. Didn't work out, didn't meet what the driver wanted. And Briscoe had the same problem. They were giving him, hey man, here is Custer's setup, because he's winning races, so therefore you should do good. Didn't work out that way. This year the change is, let's do things how I want to do them, to my preferences, to Briscoe's preferences. He's done great. Almirola, same thing. So he didn't really have, I won't say a bad year last year, but, you know, wasn't that great. And obviously broken out this year. But I think Briscoe has consistency. He was winning before the pandemic, and he was winning consistently after the pandemic. So I think he's ready. But Cindric, I don't know. I mean, what if he wins a championship? You know, what if he doesn't win another race until Phoenix wins it? does he go?
I guess it goes on to the rest of the season. We have to wait for it to play out for that. But now that you say it, I don't remember them being good last year. I mean, it was the other guys being good. I mean, yeah. if that's the case, Allgaier should be in the conversation. But Allgaier has had his chance to cup and kind of squandered it, but mm-hmm. for lower tier equipment. So I think that they should, honestly, what would be good for them is to both stay in Xfinity and prove themselves once again. Because right now it could be a fluke. And you move up to cup and then you become like Daniel Suarez, where you're just getting hopped around because you're not good enough. So there's, or you can be like Cole Custer, where you get one good luck, like one lucky one, or even like Tyler Reddick. But neither of those guys are like Tyler Reddick. They're not taking a chance like that. They're just
yep.
happening to win. But I think, so I think that Briscoe's going to stay within Stuart Haas. And I think he's going to replace Clint. But that means I don't know where Clint's going to go. If Chastain doesn't get the 42, Clint's getting the 42. And if Chastain doesn't get the 42, he's going to go drive full-time for Spire Motorsports as well as Justin Haley, because they have two charters. They have to use him. And with that,
which would be a huge L. Mm-mm. Huge L.
No, no.
Yes, it would. Spire is not competitive.
They just bought their own shop. They just bought LFR. They were operating out of premium motorsports.
I know, but
before.
look, until – and look, LFR, I mean, they weren't that – they're not like a fucking top-tier competitive team. No wins. But and they have had great drivers for them. What I'm saying is that if I really hope Ross gets the 42 car, but on the topic of silly season, the more I look at it, I don't think he will. If you would have asked me this question 2-3 months ago, all fucking day. I mean, Chip Ganassi himself said that, oh yeah, we're just going to have Kenseth come in so that way Ross can fulfill his college racing contract for the Xfinity series, and then we'll bring in Chastain to click him up. But right now, I think there are so many guys on the hot seat. And the Xfinity guys of Briscoe and Cindric, they are not helping. And this is the season, either you got it or you don't got it. And in fairness, Erik Jones heading out the door. LFR getting sold to Spire. So again, two spots there, like you mentioned, that got to open up. Is Justin Haley, is he ready for the Cup Series full time? I'm going to go ahead and say no, he's not. With the equipment that he's in right now, he's in the same boat as Ross Chastain this season. He needs to step up more. He needs to, if you're not winning 3 or 4 races in Xfinity each season, I don't know that you're ready for Cup, especially in lower tier equipment. I'm not saying Spires that is complete dog shit and ain't worth a damn thing, but if you're having a hard time winning Xfinity, how the hell are you going to win anything in a lower tier series than Cup? Good luck, man.
Okay, so here's a question for you: who won more races last year, Justin Haley in Cup or Jimmy Johnson?
Okay, look, that's a fluke, and you know it. That is a fucking fluke.
Second question. Who won more races last year, Clint Bowyer or Justin Haley in the Cup Series? Yeah. Ryan Newman had less wins.
Haley, he got a lucky win, all right?
A win, though.
NASCAR win. Said they're going back green. And for those of you who don't know what we're talking about here, Justin Haley got a very lucky win. A win's a win. You're right. A win is a win. I accept that. But he got a very, very, very lucky win at Daytona due to a lightning cancellation. NASCAR said, hey, we're going to go back green the next lap. Pit road's open. Kurt Busch, who was leading the race, said, okay, I'll come down pit road. And then in the very next lap, another lightning strike. Monsoon comes down. Haley stayed out. Just for to gain position, so he wouldn't fall back like he was, end up winning the race by technicality. But when we, look at Clint's last win, it was due to a rain delay at Michigan. He didn't even fucking earn the win, and that was 3 years ago, in 2017.
Hey,
if I'm not mistaken, memory serves correctly. Fun fact:
everyone wins. Everyone wins by technicality, because if there's no technicality, there's no rules. If you don't race without rules, you don't win. Everyone wins with technicality, because your car's approved, that you win by technicality.
I understand. But what I'm saying is that I know you're fucking with me on this. All right. I know you're dicking me hard on this one, okay? But I think it's time for Clint to go. That's a fair argument. Erik Jones' time has come. That's fair. I get it. It's cool. Time. It's a business at the end of the day.
Kyle Larson.
Kyle Larson. Again, you got to watch what you say. Doesn't matter how short and doesn't matter how short and non-intimidating you are. Can't say certain things. Shame on him. But this and we haven't heard anything from Bubba. That's been the biggest takeaway of the whole silly season, is that we haven't heard anything about Bubba Wallace. We've been hearing the past few weeks, Chip Ganassi, RPM, 48 car maybe, who knows? We don't know. We still don't know if the 48 car is going to be filled, if at all, or by who. The only thing we have secured is who's definitely not coming back with Eric Jones. And, you know, and Brian Keselowski getting locked in at Penske for one more year. That's all we know. But until then, we're still at a dead end right now. Damn it.
And LaJoy just got added to the mix. He's not. He's out.
Yes, he did.
But he's,
that's a big take.
He says that he doesn't have anywhere to go. So, I mean, what if he replaces Bowyer instead? And then Briscoe to the 32 just as a filler seat.
I don't know. That's a fair argument. Or maybe, yeah. Yeah, that's, I was going to say, yeah, LaJoy can't go back to that seat. But I'm going to go and go on a limb here. Hot, scathing take. If on a list as far as candidates for the 48 car, put LaJoy right there. I got a feeling. I got a fever.
That'd be awesome, though. Wouldn't that be?
Because the only thing that's going to – yeah.
The story.
The only thing that's going to cure my fever right now is having a guy that's been stacking pennies put into a car where he can put his money where his mouth is. I like Corey LaJoy. I love Corey LaJoy. And I love to see if he's make or break. Matt Dees has had his chance this year, still working on it this year, but I want to see it. Because, again, I don't want to see money take over the sport when there's still guys who can prove their worth.
Honestly, I just don't like Go Fast Racing anymore, because I saw the interview talking about the Trump stuff, and the guy was like, some of the teams in the garage don't have the mental fortitude to take on a sponsor like this. And I'm like, dude, don't act like you're high and mighty because you took money from someone. Like, the fuck out of here, dude. Don't act all.
Yeah, if anything, he's verifying how much of a sellout he is. That's all what it proves to me.
Yeah, because he's talking about, oh yeah, this and the other. Like, dude, get the fuck out of here. Seriously. But so let's go into Daytona. I mean, I'll be there. I'll be front row. Who is not gonna win this race?
Sticking this 3 weeks in a row, I'm sticking with this. Kyle Busch ain't winning. Kyle Busch ain't win a damn thing.
That's a given.
That's a given there. And I'm going to go take a real bold take here. Denny Hamlin nor Kevin Harvick will win this one.
Damn it.
I'm going to take a little chapter out of Noah's book here, when he always picks wrong on the Dickie Handlin and Big Dick Harvick train. And I'm going to go ahead and join you on that one. The tracks look pretty damn good. Throw some coal in the engine. Honk that whistle. Let's get it on down the tracks. They ain't going to win this fucking thing. They ain't going to do it. We're going to have someone different do it. It may not be a first-time winner, but someone different. That's what I think.
I don't think Stuart Haas Racing is going to win. I don't think Chip Ganassi is going to win. And I definitely don't think a Toyota is going to win. Something deep inside me just says that. It's like Toyota God. Speaking
down
to me.
Cars.
Hey, shut the fuck up. I know what I'm picking.
That's a lot of cars for anyone. Trying.
Meet me next week on this podcast to discuss how right I am in this moment, because no Toyota is going to win this race. Guarantee that. No, they won't.
All right,
because
this
is like a game.
When Daniel Suarez is doing donuts in front of your own fucking face, you're going to feel like an asshole.
I'm going to throw a beer. I'm going to be so mad. Throw a beer.
It better be Modelo.
I'll throw a Tecate.
Tecate
out there.
Oh, God. No respect.
All right. So we got to get in.
Who you got winning? You lost last week.
Fuck out of here.
Who you got winning? You're up to bat. Up to bat again, my friend.
Xfinity. I think Gregson's going to do back-to-back. And I think that my dark horse could be Ross Chastain, because the last time we were here, he spiked the watermelon. So I'll go Gregson and Chastain.
I'm going to have Chastain as the main pick, not a dark horse.
You can't pick my picks.
Oh, yes, I can.
No, because it's going to be too difficult. Pick your own picks. I took your pick. Pick somebody else. It's too difficult.
All right. You know what? I'm going to be a cuck. Give me Briscoe as my main. Give me Cindric as my dark horse.
Oh, my God.
There you go. There you go.
Okay.
Plays stupid games, wins stupid prizes.
Okay. Obviously, you're
easy picks.
You're not going to make any sense. You're going to literally.
No. I'm neither. I need to write that down real quick.
Both of those are going to be DNF. Those are.
All right.
Hold on. Were we picking DNFs or were we picking wins? Because that was some DNF pick right there.
I bet it was. Well, you're picking DNFs for Victory Lane, my friend.
Oh, wow. Burn.
Didn't make.
All right, go.
Xfinity. Motherfucker, I'm writing this shit down. Briscoe. Cindric. And you had Watermelon Man. Home State win. Possibly. Ross. Who's the other guy you've had? Graxon.
I said Graxon for my main. Ross for my dark horse.
I'm not doing mains and darks. Just pick two. All right, so. Going on to Cup.
You got to go first.
Before you cuck me. Already mentioned, we're not going to have two big boys win this thing. It ain't going to be Kyle Busch. I'm going to go out, and my two guys I'm looking out for in this race, I really, really, really wish I could make it three, but I'll be fair and keep it at two. Look out for Bubba Wallace. Got to go ahead and pick him. He'd be the big guy to shake up the playoff picture like we already discussed before. And then I'm going to go against your pick of a non-Stuart Haas car. Give me Clint Bowyer.
Dude.
Give me Clint at a super fucking speedway. Now, well, if someone wrecks him, if Austin Dillon finds a way up front again, yeah, he'll wreck.
He's flipping.
But give me Clint Bowyer there. We haven't seen much of him. I know he's good at super speedways. And again, he's like Ricky Stenhouse. He's going to earn his way up there, or he's going to freaking die doing it, trying to do it. And I think as in the realm of chance and possibilities where you wreck or you win, I think his ticket is due, baby. His is due. Give me Clint and Bubba.
Okay. So my main is a guy who just got finally revealed his paint scheme. And is one of our favorite drinks. I think in the strawberry banana body armor car, Ryan Blaney is going to win this race. He's going to avenge the horrors of the Daytona 500 that, you know, he almost won it after he decided to dump Ryan Newman. But you know who my dark horse pick is? And I'm going to keep on calling it that just to piss you off. My dark horse pick is Ryan Newman. I think the two Ryans might win. Because I think it would be really funny to see Ryan Newman win. And I hope he flips again and he wins this time. That would be like justice. Like he hits the wall winning, but he doesn't get hurt. He climbs out, takes his...
Yeah, under his own power. At least say he gets out under his own power.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not talking about propping him up. Yeah. Like, here we go. He's a winner.
Was it Bobby Allison? Did we win?
No, that was Davey.
Or Davey Allison. Yeah, Jesus.
Damn hospital. But no, I think Ryan Newman... might win. He might not have Coke Industries on there, but I think he has a good chance. But Ryan Blaney's really my pick because he already won Talladega. He almost won Daytona. And I like seeing new paint schemes in Victory Lane. So, Ryan.
Well, look, I'll tell you one thing. Ryan Newman's not going to win. I don't think he's going to win his wife back.
Jeez.
This Daytona.
Jesus Christ.
So, look, it had to be said. It was a headline during the 500. But just going to put that out there. I'm not a big Newman guy.
Okay. So, JP, give me some stuff to look out for Daytona.
Well, this is kind of stating the obvious here. Playoff picture, man. You mentioned this a few weeks back to Cecilia, and I'm right there with you. She's either going to be crying because Jimmy makes it, or she's really going to be crying because he doesn't make it. So, I think everyone's going to be shedding a tear. Depending on how this thing goes. So Daytona, my overall thoughts leading into it. I am more nervous than I am excited. Normally for a super speedway race, I'm like, oh man, this is fucking great. This is awesome. Like, get to see some draft racing. There's actually going to be some, we know it's going to be a good race. We know it's going to be good. You know, even with no major wrecks, we know there's going to be wrecks. But to me, Daytona and Talladega don't need to have crazy spectacular crashes to be good races. We know there's going to be a lot of lead changes, drafting. This package is fantastic they use at these tracks. So I'm excited. But this one here, I'm more nervous, man. Matt Benedetto, he's barely in. He's barely in going into a complete wild card race, which he's had a lot of bad luck at. These super speedway races have been very, very bad to him. As far as the finishes are concerned, he has good runnings, but damn it, he cannot finish these damn things without wrecking. So that has me nervous. Look at the track record. Jimmy Johnson, same story. He's already out right now. Has to have a good showing. And Billy Byron, who knows? He's in right now, but again, I'm not a big Billy Byron fan. I don't really fucking care if he makes it or not. I really don't care. This kid's had enough time to prove his worth, and he's failed to do it. So if he makes it or not, big whoop you fucking do. But I'm nervous, man. I'm really, really nervous.
I'm not nervous. I'm very excited, like I am for all Super Speedways. Yeah, I'm excited because I'm going to it in person, and I know it's going to be a good race. All the hype that everybody talks about, road courses, all these hyped up races for like TV money. I mean, you don't have to hype up Daytona at night. Like this is the big show right here. As much as I like Daytona 500, it ends at night. It doesn't begin at night. I'm talking about like we're starting at night and we're going to keep on fucking going until it's like dark, dark. Like you can't even see the face in front of you when you turn on the lights. And I like that. I like seeing sparks flying from the very beginning. People could be intense.
It's main event time. It is the main event time.
I'm excited for, you know, they always say, oh, what can happen here? What can happen here? We have no idea. Practice qualifying, even the playing field. Daytona is, if you're in the race, you can win the race. Brendan Gaughan from 40th can win this race on Saturday night. It doesn't matter. Same thing with all in the field and Xfinity. Like you have the little guys, like Jeremy Clements, Brendan Brown. Those boys can get it done. Because the draft is like this big equalizer that we don't have at any other racetrack. I think we're going to see a feel-good story come out of Daytona. I think we're going to see big names go home. Well, I don't know who's going to wreck out. Like, there's still some people that are not locked in. The only person that is locked in, up to like Kurt Busch, I think. So everybody after that's got to be on your P's and Q's. It'd be cool to see Jimmy win in person. That would be fucking awesome. It'd be cool to see anybody I like win in person, but I'd really like to see like an underdog if it's not Jimmy. Like, that'd be so cool to see like an underfunded team win. Like,
I'm right there with you. It would be the cherry on top to the Harvick and Dickie Handelin domination. Total agreeance.
That's all we got for another episode of Checkers or Wreckers. I'd like to thank everybody for listening, and we got the haulers loaded going down to beautiful Daytona Beach. A little bit of rain in the forecast, but it's usually for the days. The nights are going to cool off. I think that we're going to have a nice race, sparks flying. I'll get back to you guys with the on-site review of it. And also, congratulations to Kevin Harvick for clinching the regular season championship. I'll be able to see that presented in person. Do you have anything else left to say to your fans, JP?
Yes. If there's lightning in the forecast, put Justin Haley in a car. Get him out there.
That's all right. All I got. All right. Have a great week, everybody. See you next week.